what a wonderful thing to be in his presence tonight. And I bless him for that, and I thank him. You may be seated. I sense, as the old folks would say, the sweet anointing of the Father in the midst of his house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me. He went into a house whereby there was a name inscribed in that house. And in that house was the name of Yahweh. And David was glad to go into the house of Almighty Yahweh to exalt the very precious and the glorious name of his Creator, his mighty El, that had delivered him from all of his enemies. He was his Yoshak, his Savior. He had made a way of escape out of the perils of darkness, brought him to the presence of his mighty and marvelous light, whereby David could exalt him and praise and exalt his glorious and precious name. We're in an hour of great darkness upon the face of the earth. And the only light is going to shine is the light of his truth. And it shines down in the hearts of men to show and to reveal everything that is not accepted by him. And that is what his word does. It is a beaming light. It shines down and shows every vile and corrupt thing. I was searching the scriptures this evening, and I began to look at words like sin, sinners, hundreds of times in scriptures. Look at the word of lies, evil, and wickedness, hundreds of times in scripture. And I just began to look at words like that, and see what Yahweh has to say about it. These are the words or the things that we think have no implication upon our lives. We're not going to get by just anyway with Yahweh. He gave 1 5, 1 3, and 1 1 talent. He expects the same out of the talent of one as he did with the 5. And you're not getting by. If he has imparted into us his mighty anointing, the Holy Ruach, his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, then we're without any kind of excuse. As I said to us this morning, that we are just like Samson. He was a mighty man, great power, and yet he lost that anointing. And once he lost his anointing, he didn't even know he had lost it. He rose up against the Philistines and he had no power to resist them at all, none whatsoever. And that's this generation. It has no anointing. It doesn't even realize the little anointing that it had. It has lost the anointing. Well, how did he lose the anointing? Well, he went down and he joined himself with the harlots, a religious spirit. This harlotry of this age and this hour that we are in. And he joined himself unto a harlot. He joined himself unto a harlot. Do you understand that he was a judge in Israel for 20 years? And that's what we have done. We have joined ourselves unto harlotry and idolatry. We began to esteem the flesh more than we esteem him. We give more credence unto the flesh than we do him. There's a generation that is filled with deceit and lies and corruption. We don't even think about that when we commit such sins. We don't even give it thought. Why? Because the mind and the conscience is becoming so seared, there is no fear of Yahweh. But if I breach the power of his spirit, and his anointing is withdrawn from a man, and the first thing happened to Samson, he went blind. His eyesight was lost. And that is what has happened, because there's no singleness of eye. There's dualness of eye today. Our vision is not upon the things that are eternal. We have our heart set upon these natural, sensual, and carnal things. These are the things that make your heart delight, brings joy. Yet the profound truths of Yahweh ought to bring a tremendous joy. And what a thanksgivings unto him. And sad to me, because he couldn't appreciate what Yahweh had done for him. He couldn't do that. Even the one that he was espoused and thought that he was married, and did marry her, Yahweh raised those Philistines up for his power to be manifest in that man, Samson. He has done the same thing today. These Philistines, they are unclean. He said, come out of her, my people, and touch not the unclean things of the world, and be not a partaker of her sins or a partaker of her plagues. And the plagues are going to come. They're going to come upon this earth. They're already here. The plague of the mind, people cannot even think and function straight today. They don't know a lie from the truth. They don't know honor from dishonor. They don't know how to esteem or to exalt. They don't even understand those things today. That is what happened to Samson when he gave himself over unto that harlotry spirit. You give yourself over unto harlotry, the very same thing is going to transpire. And it is transpiring today. And what we call the assembly, or the people of Yahweh, the people of God. We all think that we are the people of God. That's the mindset today. I want to read a scripture. You say you're the people of Yahweh. Excuse me, the people of your God. Well, I will read you what scripture says about his people. And show what it says about his people. And we'll show you what his people better do and better be filled with. We're filled with every kind of sin and every kind of corruption. We're just like the Sadducees. When Peter did a profound thing, they were filled with indignation. They were not filled with the joy of Yahweh. And we are people that filled with indignation. We're defending everything but the cross. We will defend our ways, our flesh, that which pertains unto us. But we will not defend Yahweh. That's the spirit of indignation. That's what scripture says. And they were all filled with indignation because of the mighty work that was done in that wonderful, precious name of Yahweh. When a man is filled with that, I'm telling you, saints, when you're filled with that indignation, it is a spirit of betrayal. That's what it does. It brings about betrayal. You will betray anyone. And Satan has laid the mark of the spirit in the hearts of the people today. Because we don't know Yahweh. That's the truth. We don't know him. So he established this. For in the important hour and time, he will cause you to betray him. Judas did it. Did he not choose 12, he said? And one is a devil. He chose them. They were the elect, the very elect of Yahweh. And he said, yet one is a devil. Now this is what he says about his people. And if we are his people, then this constitutes us. It is us. The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. Now this will be the springboard as to what I want to convey unto you tonight. Why we don't know him. It says in Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 22. He said, for my people is foolish. Is that us? We're full of frivolity and folly. He said, my people, is he talking about his people or the people of the world? He said, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. We have not known the power of Yahweh. We have known that in a religious sense. And a practice that we actually believe is right. I was listening to a preacher of the day. And he was talking about this prophet that came to visit their whorehouse. And he was praying for the people. And so that was a woman said, I need prayer. He said, what do you need prayer for? He said, pray that God will get the people out of my house because they abuse me. They take advantage of me. Her sons and daughters she was talking about. The preacher said, why don't you put them out? She said, I can't because I'm afraid to do that. He said, all right, we'll pray. He said, first of all, you repeat after me what I tell you to pray. Say, God, I need your help. She said that because I'm a fool. He said, repeat what I said because I'm a fool. So she looked at him. He said, repeat what I said because I'm a fool. I can't obey what you say. Because of her arrogance and her pride, that's the way we are. Paul said to Galatians, now have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He told them they were bewitched. He told them they were foolish. He told them they had begun in the spirit, and now they're trying to perfect it by the flesh. He told them those things. And now all of a sudden he said, I'm your enemy because I reveal unto you the hidden insidious things of your heart. And that's the way we are against Yahweh. When he begins to reveal that unto us, what's in us, he becomes our enemy. We began to follow the law of our flesh. And the law of our own righteousness is going to destroy your soul into darkness. And that is the truth. So I didn't say it. Yahweh said his people are foolish. They are foolish people. We love folly more than we love things that are sincere. We love foolish activities more than we love things that will cause this old flesh to be crucified. We love things that are filled with frivolity and foolishness. Any kinds of events like that, we take delight in that. Well, what about a little time with him? Well, that takes too much. Takes too much for my time. Well, you have no time. We ought to be redeeming the time. What Scripture says, what time do you have? That is the first one. He said, my people are, first of all, they're foolish. Well, if you're not his people, then he's not talking to you. You are either the people of Yahweh or the people of the world. You either belong to the power of darkness or the power of light. What a wonderful thing that he can tell you what's wrong with you. You see, that's what any kind of doctor, if you go to a doctor, I always figure they can tell me what's wrong with me. He is the doctor. So first of all, he diagnoses us and tells us exactly where the problems are. First of all, he says, you're foolish. He identifies that. And we don't want him to tell us that. He is the mighty doctor, isn't he? Is he not the mighty physician? So he knows how to heal us. He knows what it's going to take to heal us. So he starts immediately with the problem. He identifies the problem. First of all, you're foolish. A foolish people. That's what the foolish man says in his heart. There is no Yahweh. And we say that constantly. He doesn't see me. He's not watching me. I do, I say, I go. Anything, any way, what I want to. Don't tell me that's not how this generation thinks. It is. You understand, I know that his eyes is on the sparrow. And I know he watched me every day. Every second, he watches me. But see, our foolish heart says he's not. So that's why we can do things and we can sin without thought of consequences. That's the truth. He first of all identified the folly. You're foolish. So a foolish man says there's no Yahweh. He says no to the Father. I will not do what you say. First of all, he said you're foolish people. That's us. That's his people. They're foolish. He said, they have not even known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge at all. Now, what a statement. That's our sickness. Paul of John said unto guys, yes, he said, beloved above all things, I would that thou wouldest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prosper. There's no health to his people today. There's no help to them. Navel. There's no strength. There's no longevity at all in his commitment. Who we commit to him, our flesh easily draw us away from him because we are a sick people. And what he's trying to do is heal you up. And the only way he's going to heal you up, he's got to show you what's in you. He starts with the inner man. He starts with the inner man. You know, most sickness people are sick, and yet they're near death, and yet there's an inner strength, they call it, doesn't it? And they press beyond even the power of death, that they really live. And so he is our inner strength, isn't he? That's not Yahweh dwells in us. And if he dwells in us, then he is our inner strength to give us power to press on into life. Well, what is life to live for him? There's no other life but to live for him. For me to live is Yahweh. For me to die is Yahweh. So for me to live or to die, it is the same. He is glorified. So he must deal with the sickness, the thing that is embedded in our spirit, our folly sins. I'm telling you, that is going to be the thing that destroys many. Because it produced this unnatural emotionalism. It does. Now that's not what Yahweh wants. This thing that folks have called the holy anointing of Yahweh, it is not His anointing. I know what Scripture says. There's a clarity to Scripture. Were you preaching some of the doctrine? No, I'm preaching against that false trash that we have learned. He said they have no understanding. Are you His people? We're not even wise. Not at all. We think we're wise. You reprove a wise man, he becomes wise. You reprove a wise man, he will love you. Now when you get reproved, do you love the one that reproves you? You despise them. You hate them. So that actually shows you your condition. You might as well concur with the truth. We despise that. We resent any kind of correction. When someone, if you are wise, that's what Scripture says. You reprove a wise man, you reprove a fool, and you will get a blot. He will hate you, he will despise you, he will rise up against you. A wise one will be endeavored to love you. Say, my, you showed me that. I needed that above all things. Now, it's either that this book that I'm reading out of, it is a total fabrication of lies. And the one that this mighty El that created you, he doesn't know you. He is an unwise heathen deity. He is not Yahweh. He is just an unwise heathen deity. Or actually, he knows us. And he knows what it's going to take to set us in order. That we may be a healthy people and walking in His health. And when we walk in His health, we have a soul that glorifies Him. It doesn't vilify Him, but it glorifies Him. It doesn't mock Him, but it acknowledges what He says. And it takes it to heart. For there's where our life is. There's no life without the breath of Yahweh. And His breath is in the living power of His truth, His Word. And our flesh despises it, it hates it, it doesn't want it. It loves lies and false things. You don't get angry at someone because they lie to you. You get angry because they tell you the truth. And that's the way we are. How do you know? Because they despise Messiah. He told them the truth and they were ready to kill them. He spoke of their sins and they were ready to kill them. He said, your sins are forgiven. Oh, you can't do that. Only Yahweh can forgive sins. You're right. That's why I come in His name. To let you know I can forgive sins. You can flatter someone. They don't get upset. Girl, you sure look nice. And she looks a mess. She doesn't get upset. But tell her, you look a mess in that. What's wrong with this? Man, you look good in that. You look nice in that. But where you get that, man? I got that from a store. Tell him, say, man, you look a foolish mess in that. Take that off. He will get offended. And that's why that offense in our hearts today, we're so easily offended, it gives strength to that betrayal spirit. When Messiah said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, they were all offended. They got offended at Him. These folks, when I began to preach in Messiah's name, they got offended because that was there, and they are betrayals. And you will betray one another. And the one you betray that one with, you betray that one, you're betraying that one with. It's the power of darkness. It's not the light of Yahweh. Spirit of darkness. We are people that have no understanding because we're unteachable. We think we know everything. We're arrogant. We're proud. We're full of indignation. Just like Deacon Bennett said, Pastor Robert, first of all, they must be emptied out. Before they can be filled with Yahweh's anointing. And we were never empty out. We had a lot of trash in us. That trash we have carried about. You're going to have to be emptied out. You don't have to concur. You don't have to say amen. You don't have to say hallelujah. It is still the truth. Besides, it's the truth that this book is a total lie. And throw it in the fire. Don't even waste your time with this. It's nothing but foolishness. It's either the truth or it's a lie. And you always say, by His immutability, I can't lie. What I say, I'm immune. You know what immutability is? He's immune from lying. Whatever He says is truth. If He tells you it's a tree right there, honey, you may not see, but there's a tree. If He tells you there's a host of angels there, just pray, open my eyes that I can see them. Balaam, don't you understand the old ass says? No, man. The angel of Yahweh, the Malach is there. He's going to destroy you. Yahweh, open the fool's eyes. He's going to take our eyes being opened. Our eyes have been shut with sin. Sin shut the eyes. That's what shut Samson's eyes. He had the mighty power of Yahweh. Slew thousands of men. The first deed he did, a lion came out, and this young lad ripped him to pieces, and went back one day and saw honey, a sweet thing there. He's going to take that. Didn't even know he had lost the anointing. Don't worry about the baby. That's your problems now. You want to get in Yahweh's house and play and think little things are cute. They're not. He's all right. You need to open your mind to his truth. That's why you're in such folly. You need to hear. You need an ear to hear. That's what's wrong with you now. Your eyes are so easily deceived. You must be a singleness of eye. And there'll be a singleness of eye. There'll be a singleness of eye. Then the whole body is full of light. You better pray, Father, give me the ability to hear so you can hear. He never said, he that hath the eyes, you see. He said to every last one of those assembly, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Don't take much to trick the eyes. He said, my people are, first of all, they're foolish. They're sottish. They don't know me. They're wise to do evil. And they have no understanding. Now, that is the bedrock of the sickness of the people today. That's why they're sick. That's why they're sick in the spirits. That's why there's no joy, no thankfulness unto Yahweh. That's why they're dead, twice dead, plucked up. No life in them. Because they're sick. And a sick man looks dead. When someone is sick, they look dead. But what is robust and full of life? They don't eat the proper things for their body. You don't eat the proper things for your natural body. It looks dead. That's why we love trash things today. We don't love things that are whole and full and give us the vitality that we need. We don't want that because they don't taste like this trash that the world offers. This religious whore, what she offers is satisfy one thing, and that's flesh. And flesh constantly craves for it. It can never be satisfied. So it constantly gives them big order, little order, double dutch, everything, trash. Nothing of value. Nothing whole and complete. And that's why you don't have a complete people today. That's the truth. Why? Because they reject the wholeness of his truth. I'm going to preach until I die. And I'm going to preach like this. And I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. I'm not an extortioner. And I'm not a jive preacher. And that's the truth. So he identifies his people. And what has prevented them from moving on to the place where they should be. Look at verse 23. He said, for behold, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, and there was no man. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down, and the presence of Yahweh by his fierce anger. For thus saith Yahweh, said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a fool in. Why? Why is it going to be desolate? You understand why desolation comes into our lives? Because we reject judgment. Without judgment, you're going to become desolate. We need judgment in this hour, saints. We need to be judged. We need Yahweh in judgment. It is judgment, his mercy and truth. He cleanses us from iniquity. Correct me in thy judgment, Yahweh. Judge me. We reject judgment. And so we feed ourselves with this spirit of harlotry. That's what a whore tells you. She makes you think you are mad and you're not. She makes you think you feel one way and you don't feel that way. And that's what this harlot spirit does. Makes you feel religious. Makes you feel good. Makes you feel as though you've done something honorable and good. You haven't done a thing good or honorable. Because you're doing it for you. You're not doing it for the glory of Yahweh. It's for you. In this religious world, that's what Samson did. He lost the anointing and didn't even know he had lost it. And when the great battle came, he had no ability to subdue the enemy. You lose the anointing, you have no power to overcome sin. Your lies, your corruption, your wicked ways, you have no power. None whatsoever. Your filthy ways, none whatsoever. Because there is no anointing. There's the breach in the spirit. And when Samson breached the spirit, he laid hold on that harlot, and he went, the scripture says he went in to her. Now you can be all naive all you want to. He went into her like scripture says. And you're going into that harlot today, into that harlot spirit, this religious euphoric. And that's the thing to give you a sense. You're right, you're religious. No, honey, you're going to be judged by the power of this truth. But you always says the word. That's how we're going to be judged. It's not by your wicked mama, your wicked daddy, your wicked sons and daughters. It's going to be done by what thus saith Yahweh. He's going to judge you. And we don't want to stand the test of this judgment. We like that carnal judgment. Because it satisfies the flesh. And you seek out those that will betray Yahweh like you. And you need to seek the altar of Yahweh in prayer. And get on your face and cry out for deliverance. He's going to take that. If I'm not a preacher, I pray that he sent a man anointed. Believe me, this wicked world, just like he did with Israel, he's not going to send another Savior, another Yahshua. He sent the one. He is not giving these wicked people today a man to abuse or to take. He's not going to do it. They have abused the prophets. They've abused the apostles, men of authority. They've abused them. And they think, God, he'll send a man that way. You're a liar. You reject him, his truth, he's going to reject you. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh. I rejected you from being king. And that's what he is doing. Because you have rejected him, he's going to reject you. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5. Now either this is truth or it's a lie. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of Yahweh as dear children. You understand what a dear child is? One that is submissive, obedient, love, has a tender heart, a kindness. That's what he said. Be ye followers of Yahweh as dear children. Dear to your heart. He's dear to you. Is he dear to you? That's how he tells us to be followers of him as dear children. He said, and walk in the love as Yahshua also hath loved us. And have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet-smelling Yahshua. That's what he gave himself to be, a sweet-smelling savor. A flavor that you ever eaten something and you get the scent on your fingers or something like that. And although you don't have no more, but you can constantly smell that. You ever eaten something like that? You ever had anything like that that you smell it and you can constantly smell and sense the aroma on your hand and you savor that? I recall many years ago there was a Vietnamese. He invited me to his house and he had some roots. I had never had that. And he had cooked it in coconut and some curry and all these different spices. And it had such a flavor and a fragrance. It was a very savoring, sweet smelling odor on that rooster. And for days the scent was on my hand. It smells so good. Now that's what Messiah is. A sweet smelling savor. You just can't get enough of him. You don't get tired of him. Do you get tired of him? Ask yourself that. Do you get tired of talking about him? You don't get tired of talking about Christ and folly, but you don't have time for him. Do you get tired of talking about him? Well, he's never in your conversation. He says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becoming saints. He said, these vile things, don't let it be named amongst you as you begin to come to the knowledge of this truth. It ought not to be named amongst you once. It should not be a sin in the midst of the house of Yahweh, that vile thing, because it is all idolatry. That's what it is. You spend more time, think about it, saints. We spend more time catering to our lusts and our unclean thoughts and the unclean desires. That should be one desire, our affection upon him. That I may know him in the fullness of his power. The power of his death, burial, and resurrection. You don't even know him in the power of his death. Because we have not died out unto our sins. We have not crucified ourselves. We don't deny ourselves. And you're sure not picking up no cross daily. That's the only way you're going to pick it up. You first of all deny yourself. And then you pick up the cross daily. And you follow him. You know how sometimes in the morning you get up, you pick up lies and sin, your own corrupt flesh. You pick that up. You might as well say, help me, Father. You pick up your flesh. You don't pick up things that are pure. You pick up your flesh, your corruption. You understand, he is the doctor. So you don't have to tell him what's wrong. He tells you what's wrong. To me, that's a doctor. If I walk to the doctor's office, he can say, I'll tell you what's wrong. You got a pain there, and there. Now that's a doctor. I've always expected that of a doctor. See, a doctor really don't have to diagnose. He is the only physician. For he doesn't have to, there's no need to diagnose you. He knows what's wrong with you. He tells you it's a sin problem. It's something down in your soul. There's a filthiness there. Don't you know if you don't wash your hands, they get filthy? When you touch and eat something, don't you know there are germs and bacteria? See, that's your problem. There's something filtered, the uncleanliness. Every time you touch something, every time you touch something clean, if your hands are filthy, you touch a beautiful white dress, will you not mar that dress? And that's what we're doing. We're marring the word of Yahweh. That's right, help me, Yahweh. He said, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Yahshua and of Yahweh. He said, let no man deceive you with vain words. And if I'm preaching vain words, I'm deceiving you. And vain words are words of lies and deceit. It doesn't deal with the thing that is present. It deals with illusions. It doesn't deal with truth. It flatters you. It's words of lies. The words are lies and deception. You can believe me one thing. I'm not speaking vain words tonight. It's going to take the cleansing power of Yahweh to cleanse us. To make us healthy. Now, I don't get offended at him because he speaks to my heart. And tell me what I need. I want to be saved. That song, oh, I want to see him. I want to see Messiah's face. I'm living for nothing but that. There's nothing in life I expect. I don't expect nothing. He's given me food and raiment and I'm content. I'm content. I don't need $10,000 a day. I'm content. If he doesn't give me one nickel a day, I'm content. I'm very pleased with what he is doing. I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased. I'm happy. I'm full of the blessings of Yahweh because I'm full of him. I can't get him out of my mind. I can't get him out of my thoughts. So I have to constantly go to him so that I may understand him. You understand your ways because we go to the sin dish all the time. We go to the sin hole. That's what this religious whorehouse is. It's just a mess. And it's a what is that word, evangelist horn you used to use all the time? Amalgamation. It's just a mess, a smorgasbord of merging of all kinds of religious trash. That's why the minds of the people are not stable. There's no stability. Don't tell me there's strength among what we call the people of Yahweh or the people of God. You should let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of disobedience. When you disobey him, his wrath is coming. When you disobey him, his wrath is coming. Obedience is better than anything. You can't sacrifice nothing to him. You can't lay your body out for him. He wants you to obey. And you just simply present your body to him. You just present it. He'll take care of the rest. You got the willingness to present it. He will take care of the rest. He says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, is that not a command? He said, don't be partakers with them. If they walk in these spirits, don't be a partaker with them. And we say, no, that doesn't mean my daddy. That doesn't mean my mom or my brother. They're religious perverts. You esteem anything higher than his truth, you're in idolatry. Anything that is esteemed higher than his truth, you have esteemed that to worship that, and that has become your God. He's your way. He's the mighty El. The scripture says there are three that bear witness. There are three that bear witness in the kingdom, in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ruach, his Spirit. And these three are is one. And so he can't lie. His testimony is sure. For his word says that. And his spirit says that. The testimony is sure. No doubt about it. I want every last one of us tonight, you better get a realness in your heart and a sincere desire to seek after the Father. We have played around, and He's not going to accept that. No more. They've walked in hypocrisy, sin, and lies. Because of this, His wrath coming upon the children of disobedience. He's going to pour it out. He's going to pour it out. I hope you understand He's still talking to His people. He's talking to His people. He's talking to His people. He's talking to His people. He says, for ye yourselves were sometime darkness, or walking in darkness. Verse 8. But now are ye light in Yahshua. Walk as children of light. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Now that's the power of the Spirit. It is in all goodness. It is always good. There's a goodness to the Spirit. It's good. It does good. It treats good. It walks good. It does right. Don't tell me we have that kind of anointing. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. Proving what is acceptable unto Yahweh. Now that's the labor of the Spirit. It always proves what is acceptable unto the Father. Now we are always looking at things that are acceptable unto us in our flesh. Now that's the way we are. He said the Spirit proves all the time what is acceptable unto Yahweh. That's what it does. It doesn't prove the things that are acceptable unto you. For someone can speak something to you that is righteous. It is the law of Yahweh, and you don't accept that. But the Spirit of Yahweh proves all things that He accepts. He's not going to accept lies and falsehoods and our sins. I warn us for our own safety, for the saving of our own souls. It's going to take this kind of preaching to save this wicked generation. You're not going in any other way. Me preaching to you like a teacher is not going to work. You're going to have to be preached to. That there may be some fear of Yahweh down in your soul. Sure. It's going to have to be that way. Always proving that which is acceptable unto Yahweh. And He said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Do you understand that? He said, you don't walk in the fellowship with things that are done deceitfully and in darkness. He said, you reprove that. It's one thing, I don't care when brothers come to me. I don't care. I don't care if the one is right and the one is wrong. When all of them leave me, even myself, you will know that the issue, we will deal with the issue. And that was hard, that heart, and I will judge my heart according to that spirit because I know what it's going to take. You should reprove the unfruitful things of darkness. But that's something being done, Satan. We do things that has the connotation of darkness. Then you have to reprove it. You have to reprove it. You don't fellowship with that. You don't strengthen that. And we are people that do that. This whole religious whorehouse does that. And that's what we do. We don't reprove it. Just reprove it. Reprove it. Sharply. When you reprove something, you sharply speak against it. You sharply do that. We don't do that because we're afraid of feelings. I would do it with my wife. My wife knows me. I don't care who it is. I sharply reprove it. I would hear it. Just mind your business. That's what I do. Do you not realize that they got that man Judas? He lied against Messiah. He was a devil. Do you not understand that we are the body of Messiah? And you began to lie against that. Don't you understand? You walk in the spirit of Judas. He's preaching a false doctrine. Tell me the doctrine I'm preaching false. I've had these men to say that. Show me the doctrine. And they had nothing to back it up with. Sit down in scripture. I will show them what kind of fools they are. And they would mutter and look for words. And they had nothing to say. Let the Jezebels show me where I'm preaching a false doctrine. You think it was a Jezebel woman? They tell me I'm preaching a false doctrine. Is it a prophet? Is it a man of Yahweh? Yes, he was. He wants to know. You think he's a fool? Doesn't he spend 10 minutes with him? Love a video game more than he loves Yahweh? They're fools. He's going to have men that love him. And he's going to put his seal upon them. And they're going to speak. And if it isn't so, then all of this is a forest. is a forest. That's what it is. What you all need to do is listen to these tapes over again. Oh, Brother Josh, make sure he gets them and listen to them over. That's what you need to do. Listen to them. And they will reveal even more about you. Sure is. Does not the scripture reveal you? If it doesn't reveal you, you're none of his. You have no part of him. I'm glad it reveals me. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest to the light. See, when you reprove those things, you bring light to those things. Whether it's the truth or a lie. Now, we don't do that because we're full of lies. We're full of deceit. We deceived our own selves to think we're right and think we're doing right. So we don't reprove those things. We delight in those things. But when you reprove it, you bring it to light. That's what you do. You reprove it, you bring it to light. When you're full of sin, you can't reprove it. I reprove every matter. I don't care who it comes from. I reprove it to bring the light or let the glorious truth of Yahweh's word shine upon it. And you will find yourself, the more you talk, the more the darkness will fill your mind. And the more Judas talked, the more the darkness filled his mind. The lie gets in, saints. I love you all. I wouldn't even be here tonight unless it was the grace of Yahweh. I have no ulterior motive. I'm not trying to take your money because there's not enough money here. There's no material purpose. I desire anything. I don't need anything. So what other motive do I have? To lord you? I don't want to do that. You rebel against you. So what do I have for a little small group of house like this? Tell me. Unless my motive is sincere and pure, to preach unto you the unsearchable riches of Yahweh, to reveal his plan for us, that we may walk in it, then there's no purpose for me being here. If that's not my purpose, Yahweh, I pray, remove me. And that's my sincere prayer. That's my prayer. Remove me. Take me out of this way. I want to. I'm not afraid to say that I mean it. My Father knows my heart. Take me out of the way. Kill me, Father. You're going to have to be right. He said, wherefore, he says, awaken thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and your cure shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools now. Paul, talking to the Ephesians now. Who's he talking to, brothers? Sure he's talking to brothers. He said, don't walk as fools, but as wise. You know you're walking as wise because you're redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The thing you did yesterday, you should not do that today. The things you said the day before, I don't care who it is. You ought not to say it. See, a wise man redeems the time, but a fool, he has no countenance of time. Every second the clock ticks. You're near death. Your expiration date is near. Like that. And when you're wise, you begin to redeem the time. Time is more valuable now. You can't spend it in foolishness and frivolity. This must be about the things of your way. So you redeem the time. You began with urgency. There's an importance to time now. You realize that factor. Time is the factor. And so you began to redeem it. It becomes very valuable. So that's what you do. You take all your coupons and you redeem the gift. So you take all of your time and you give it to him that you may redeem time. My time is not my time, it's his time. Whatever you say, Yahweh, whatever your will is, I want to do it with all fullness of heart. Not as a false brother, a false preacher. I want to do it with all sincerity of heart. He said, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of Yahweh is. Now he tells us, don't be unwise, don't be fools, but understand what the will of Yahweh is. Now look at what the will is. He said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess. Don't be taken by the wine and the strong mixtures of this world. Don't be taken by the pleasures of this world. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Now how do you know when one is filled with the Spirit? He tells you, look at this. He says, speaking to yourself now. Do you speak to yourself in psalms and in hymns? Are there spiritual songs that come out of your mouth, singing and making melody in your heart to Yahweh? Do you do that? Do you do that? He tells us to do that.
And yet our minds are filled with lies and folly. You will know what is filled with the Spirit. We don't do that. Say what you will. Our minds are on everything but what He says. Be filled with. He said, be filled. Be full. He means what He says. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. When one is filled with the Spirit, there's no fullness of indignation, no fullness of love, and no fullness of wrath and fighting. When you're filled with the Spirit, you do just what He says. I'll read that again. It's not my word, it's what He says. He says, speaking to yourself in songs and psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing melodies, singing and making melody in your heart to Yahweh. And what else? Giving thanks always for the things unto Yahweh and the Father in the name of Yahshua, the Messiah. You're always giving thanks. You're not murmuring and complaining. You're always giving thanks. There's no bitterness in that. You're always giving thanks. I know what we've been taught by this infilling of the Spirit has been brought on by traditions and the ways of tradition. I believe in tongues. I believe in the empowering of the Holy, anointing the Ra'ul of Yahweh. I believe in that. Don't go out and speak a lie and say, I don't believe in that. Believe in it. But I understand that this powerful being of this world, Shaitan, he can transform himself too. And that's what religion has done. And so we've been filled with the Spirit and we raise hell, we fight. We're bitter. Glory to your way. Hallelujah. We fight, we're bitter, we're selfish, we're wicked. I want to read a few accounts with those that were filled with the Spirit. Yahweh filled us with the Spirit to do His service. That's why He filled us with the Spirit. He gave Samson a charge. See, His words are spirit in their life, aren't they? These are the words that He spoke to him. Don't cut your hair. You're Nazarene. No razor, no strong drink. When Samson went against that, he lost his spirit. When you go against what Yahweh said, you breach the Spirit. You breach the Spirit. And then when there's a time of battle, you can't even overcome your flesh. You can't even rule your own spirit. You can't even rule your own spirit. None whatsoever. Your own spirit rises up. It takes control over you. Bless you, Father. For truth. For truth. Then He gives us the perfect example of how that powerful anointing works with a wife submitting herself to her husband. Ain't too many wives want to submit. They're not really wise. That's what He said. Wife, submit yourself. When a man finds a wife, when a man, he finds a good thing. And he has favor of your way. Scripture says that. Scripture. And so all down there, Paul gives us a perfect law of how to submission. And the beauty of it. And the beauty of it. As we submit to him as a wife submits to her husband. As he does it with all reverence and honor. So he gives us a beautiful picture of that. Of this powerful anointing of the Spirit. And the power that it reveals. And that it works in a man's life. He gives us that. He shows us that. And he shows us how it works. We resist that. We don't like that because there are things that we want to hear that gives us some kind of solace, comfort in our flesh to make us think we're good. Your goodness is a filthy rag to make us think that we've done something important. You haven't done nothing important. Yahshua paid it all. Oh, to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He paid the price. You haven't paid the price for nothing. You haven't labored for one thing at all. The price has been paid. He is a propitiation. The price paid in full for what? Our sins. And everything is springboard from sin. So you haven't done anything. You have no law of righteousness or goodness in you. It is Him dwelling in you that He does everything to bring glory unto Him. That's why He will not leave us comfortless. He will put His Spirit in us. Tell me this, the Spirit of Yahweh? That we sin, we can do every kind of vile thing. We can be a part of this wicked, unclean, corrupt world. And we say we have this anointing. You are full of lies. You have a religious anointing, a religious spirit. It's a part of this ecumenical power, this pantheon of gods. Our president, Mr. Bush, as they asked him a question, do we serve or do you serve the same God as the Muslim? He emphatically said, yes, we all serve the same God. He is not lying. He told the truth. You began to listen to these people and how they even use that word God. Just listen. You got to listen by the Spirit. You can see the power, how they're drawing the people under this ecumenical power. It's going to work. Yahweh is doing it. I was doing some research the other day. There's so many gods, I won't even try to mention them. The tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. Gods marry gods. Men gods in love with other men gods. Zeus produced certain children. Women goddess in love. It's truth. There are millions of them. Yahweh reminded me, they're all made. And they are gods. I am the mighty El. That's why he spoke in a language that would express to this unwise mind of man and convey unto him who he is. Who he is. Who he is. And he spoke in a language that was precise. The New Testament was not written in Greek. Greek was a language of business and the metropolitans, those of the bourgeois. It was not the language of the poor people. It was not. Not at all. He wrote it in Hebrew. And the Greeks are known for their gods. They're known for their gods. Thousands. I thought that the Egyptians had more than the Greek. But the Hindus have more than the Egyptians and the Greek. There are thousands and tens of thousands of God. And they all spell it with the capital G too. Capital G-O-D. We should ask God. No. Yahweh.